We got the Lions in the mix. We're taking phone calls and ticket texts on Za'Darius. Is the holdup Brad Holmes? Realize training camp hasn't started. The deal doesn't have to be done today, but Za'Darius made it clear. Roadblock's not on his end. 248-539-9797. We got plenty of Tiger talk this hour. If you missed our conversation with Scott Harris, you'll hear that at 9:35. Also have a Red Wing fan survey. What do you really think of the Iser plan? It was done by one of the beat writers. We'll give you some of that data coming up later in the hour. Also, a fun thing that's gone on in the background of the show, John,
yeah,
is we didn't plan this, and it's just kind of, we still get texts on it. I brought up last night's Tigers game. They won, and Canely and Vest at the back end of the bullpen.
Oh, yeah, we're getting the nicknames?
We are still getting those, and we'll still collect them by the end of the show. I mean this respectfully. We love the creative energy of our listeners. Nobody has come up with the right nickname yet. Canely and Vest are a 1-2 punch. The Tigers have the fewest blown leads in all of baseball. Both have all-star candidacy cases, and there's a little bit of a dynamic. So if you can come up with the nickname for Canely and Vest, let us know. And that's kind of gone on in the background. I mean, we did it hours ago. We keep getting a steady stream of these. So we'll keep collecting them and we'll have those at the end of the hour.
And you want to share now?
No.
Okay.
I want to challenge people because you weren't impressed either with the first batch.
No, not the first batch, but I mean, there were some decent ones.
But the creative juices start to flow and may lead someone in the right direction. Let's get to Alan in Bloomfield. Alan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great topic. Brad Holmes is sitting back looking at, I think statistically, last year the Philadelphia Eagles were 14th in sacks. The best running teams last year, that I think there were six that had 500 attempts rushing, three of them Buffalo, Philadelphia, Detroit, three of the best teams. So in my mind, the offensive line now becomes the priority, especially when you lose an all-pro like Frank Ragnow. So I think he's sitting back, time's on his side. Maybe he can make a trade. There's some people, some teams have two or three centers, guards, and I'm not going to hold it against him. I think he's going to come through just like he did in the draft. He got a run stopper, which is important, and he got two guards that hopefully bloom into something positive to keep that offense.
Number
one scoring offense in the NFL.
Alan, I agree. The offensive line is more important. It's the identity of this team. It's the biggest indicator of success.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to make a move there. I think their group is their group, and they're going to rely on Hank Fraley coaching up a young group of guys. Mahogany and Ratledge both may be starting this season with Graham in there, too. They've got their interior three, and they're going to try to make sure that those young guys are playing their best ball late in the season. The move they could make, additions to this roster, are more likely to come, I would assume, on the edge.
Well, you would think. And, I mean, Brandon Scherff is still out there. I brought up that name originally. There are some guys that they could sign to solidify the middle of this offensive line, and everybody would ask, well, why hasn't Brandon Scherff signed? Why hasn't Za'Darius Smith signed? Well, these are veteran guys, and they could be waiting for a number of different reasons. And I don't know the ins and outs of Brandon Scherff. Maybe there's an injury why teams have shied away. Maybe it's just him saying, I'm going to wait for an injury or a retirement.
Also,
Frank's not going to be the only retirement before the season. There's going to be other guys that, as they pack their bags to go to training camp, say, I can't do this again. And they're going to retire. So there's going to be injuries. Maybe he's just waiting for an opportunity to start somewhere. And that opportunity could be in Detroit. We don't know. The acquisition of players is not going to stop. And it could be both of those guys, Scherff and Za'Darius Smith.
Does Brad think bringing in another edge would offend Hutchinson from an unnamed texter?
No, I
don't believe that.
No, it only makes it better for him.
Yeah. Ticket texter says, there's like two teams in the NFL that have good ends on both sides.
Yeah, and so
there's only one team that wins the Super Bowl.
Right, but is there a team that has two elite edge rushers? No, which is why I believe it's not going to happen with Trey Hendrickson because of the cost that it takes. You're talking about two of the highest paid, one of the highest paid positions, and two guys that would be in the top three at that position. That's really hard to do financially.
That's why I think Za'Darius is the sweet spot here.
Right.
No, you can have two elite.
You can have great and good.
Yeah, thank you. And plenty of teams that win Super Bowls have put two
Yeah.
Very good to great ends, bookends. It's rare. It's not easy. Only one team wins the Super Bowl. So you go, only a couple teams have great edge. Be one of the couple great teams. The goal is to be the best team. I don't know why. You can have two good safeties. Can you have two good ends? Can you have two good corners? Can you have two good interior D linemen, two good linebackers? Why is it one of everything? It should be Noah's Ark.
By the pairs? Well, you need more than two receivers.
Right. That's my point.
It would throw off their numbers, though, if you're loading the arc.
Yeah. Two slots, pairs. Two outside receivers. I mean, hell, teams are playing two tight ends. You can never have enough depth. You play one quarterback. Everywhere else, if you can, you should add. And I would say we've seen it time and time again, what great D lines can do.
Load them up two by two.
That's right. 248-539-9797. Texter says they're waiting to see what happens with Hendrickson. If the Bengals extend him, Zadarius will be here shortly. Cookies, I don't get your obsession with Zadarius. His numbers have been declining the last 3 years.
That's why he becomes affordable.
As you say, this is the compromise.
Right.
I'd rather have Micah Parsons. That's not happening. This is the affordable option for a guy who's still productive and played here.
Right. You're not getting peak Zadarius Smith, so you're not paying for peak Zadarius Smith.
Holmes pushing back on positions of need repeatedly makes me wonder if he's a little more lucky than good. Seems like a weird thing to be defensive about, John and Trenton.
I think, you know, year after year, as you continue to draft contributors, but Pro Bowlers and some All Pros, I think you can prove yourself as good.
I want to be clear. He's good more than he is lucky.
Yeah.
I understand the philosophy of taking good football players up and down the draft, especially when he took over and they had
zero,
very little. Yeah. But as you get a little better and you have good players everywhere, your needs are only a couple spots. Texter says, I'd definitely be upset with Brad Holmes if the Lions don't sign Smith or Hendrickson. I don't understand the thought process of two not being better than one. I don't understand why you can't have Smith and Henderson join the team. Jerome and Radford.
Well, the issue is, so
salary cap.
Yeah. And I know everybody points to the Eagles adding Saquon Barkley. Well, you add Saquon Barkley, you're not paying a running back, even though he's an elite running back. You're paying him half the cost of what you're paying an elite edge rusher. So if you have two elite edge rushers, now you're wrapping up a ton of money in essence, one position. And yes, you can do it, but at the cost of what else?
Some ticket text on the nicknames, John, the latest batch.
Oh, okay.
Must see KV.
Hmm.
No, it's kind of ripping off a different thing. Canely is blade. He cuts you up. Vest is laser. He throws laser beams. Together they are?
Blade and laser.
Blazer. Close. Blazer. You were right there.
Blazer.
Yeah, Blazer.
So I guess I just didn't put them together.
Silky smooth and the flamethrower. Guys, this is why we asked you guys to do better. Candy Canely and Bulletproof Vest. No, these are two separate nicknames. Smoke and Mirrors for Vest. Now, that'd be more Canely. It says Heat and Deceit. Guys, I don't think these are going to work.
No, but keep trying. Keep trying. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again.
We did get Smith and Weston earlier, the big guns at the back end of the bullpen.
Wesson. Yeah, not Weston.
You can tell Weston. This is not my.
Yes.
This is your area of expertise.
Weston is the hotel brand. How about slow and fast?
Yeah, that's more of what we've been getting. One throws heat and
one doesn't. The have and have not.
We had a fire and ice earlier, which people pointed out is also like a condom thing. Now we're talking about saves and safety.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Who's the Magnum?
Icy hot?
Sure. This is the point, guys. We're going to harness the creative energy one way or another. Maybe there's not a great nickname, but yeah. Canely and Vest deserve a nickname. The Tigers bullpen at the back end has been great. We'll collect those responses. What are you laughing at? Is it a Twitch comment we can't read on the radio?
No, it's the voices in my head that I can't share.
Okay. We'll do this.
Filter.
Bullpen nickname, Red Wing survey, Scott Harris, open lines. It's 97.1.
Hey, you know, in sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, it sure feels personal, and it is. The same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Femininio steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you need an attorney who's going to make it personal. That someone is David Femininio. He uses the slogan, get David, get paid. I say it all the time as well. It's not just a slogan. It is a promise to take care of you. And if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Feminino at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Inside pitch, took it straight away center field. Good luck robbing that one. Exclamation mark last night.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Torkelson, 16 home runs. That is the most of any American League first baseman. It's double Vlad Guerrero, double Aranda in Tampa, and double that of Paul Goldschmidt with the New York Yankees. Torkelson should be your all-star. I say should. It's a popularity contest. The Yankee might win. Vlad might win. The Rays have to have somebody. But Torque should be one of the two first basemen representing the American League at the All-Star game.
I agree with you. I think he certainly should be. And what's in his favor is he's outkicked his coverage. He has performed more like you thought he would as a 1-1, but certainly not what he's done over this first 3 years.
Right. And I know Tiger fans can do their part, but again, popularity contest. When you pick the backup first baseman, his numbers are there. Tiger win also included a couple shutdown performances from whatever we're calling these two, Canely and Vest, who are both pitching with sub-2 ERAs. The Tigers have blown the fewest leads in all of baseball. Those two are rock-solid 1-2 punch. We do not have a nickname for them, and I'm sorry to report we still don't have a nickname for them.
We don't need one right now. We just need one by the World Series.
Well said. Call the entire bullpen the Tiger Cage. That's what this is being reduced to.
Tiger Cage.
Motown Maulers. Kavoom.
Kavoom.
I have a nickname. How about Sonic and Knuckles? Yeah, we're jumping the shark on this. Yeah. Motor City Closers. Blowtorch and Hammer. Are we just naming things that sound cool at this point?
Heather asked AI.
Yeah, so I went and asked ChatGPT for some help since I'm not creative. And theirs were pretty lame as well. It did have like the closer composers. It says because they orchestrate silence in the ninth. Mm-hmm. Did have Fire and Ice. The 8 Mile shutdown.
Someone said 8 Mile and 9 Mile. And then Eminem can be the music they use.
The Lockdown Boys.
No, I don't like the Lockdown Boys.
I didn't come up with it. This
AI
did.
I'm not mad at you.
It
sounds like a 1950s football movie.
The Lockdown Boys.
Yeah.
I also feel like they're solving mysteries, the Lockdown Boys.
It could be.
Like the Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you read any of those books?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did, yes.
Age gap.
Age, yes.
Protect and
Even
serve.
Though they were old when I was young.
I guess they would have been.
I have a joke about John reading books that I'm just going to keep to myself.
You think he's too stupid to read?
Yeah. Was that my nickname? I'm going to say, hey, good morning, buddy, and hello behind the glass. And you're going to say, hey, stupid.
Dumb, dumb.
Good
lughead.
Morning. Yeah.
He's not denying it. Anyway, I will save him that, and we will move on.
Didn't see that one coming.
You know where you stand with Greg.
I guess so.
I have in front of me the
We do hold the same degrees from the same university.
Well, not the same degree, but the
you
same
have a degree in kinesiology, Greg?
No, he has a degree from the same school.
He's a more respectable degree.
Okay, yes.
Hey, 8 more credits it takes, man. We need spring classes for that.
Okay. All right, yes.
I have in front of me the work of Max Boltman and the work of Red Wing fans. It's from The Athletic. Max Boltman did a survey just to see where people stand on Steve Yzerman and the direction of the Detroit Red Wings. So I just thought it'd be fun for a minute or two just to pass this along and get your thoughts on it. So where would you rate your confidence in the Red Wings organization? 1 to 5, 5 being very confident. 39% said a 3. That was the most popular answer, smack dab in the middle. What about Steve Yzerman? 45%, a 3, right down the middle. It's clear this is a crossroads offseason for Steve Yzerman in the eyes of this fan base. When you go a step further and you ask this fan base, it's been 9 years since they made the playoffs, what describes your urgency or patience? 1 in 3 fans said, I want the playoffs at all cost next season. And the majority of people want the playoffs, but are still very concerned about the long-term sustainable success of the organization. I interpret that as they're not seeing the fruits of a future champion when they watch this team play. So that's the vast majority of people. as they're constructed, what is your confidence they'll make the playoffs next season? The most popular answer was a 3 out of 5, followed by a 2 out of 5. John, people are not optimistic, and that's understandable given the fact they went backwards last year.
Right. And it's following offseason after offseason where you haven't made any major additions. Now, major additions in the National Hockey League is tough to do. Good players don't become available. It's not your only path to add.
The Stars reportedly are shopping Robertson, a 30-goal scorer who's 25 years old. They need to shake things up. The Caps are a reality for them. Doesn't have to be Mitch Marner, but that is the preferred target of Red Wing fans at 38% of respondents saying, go get Mitch Marner. There's only one Mitch Marner. Every team wants him. If the Wings don't get him, it's not an excuse for Yzerman still to sit back and let this team stall out and wallow. Sure is a great word for it. That also speaks to Red Wing fans, where they're most confident in is the drafting, where they're least confident in is free agency. Only 4% of fans said they were most confident in their free agent approach.
Sure. I mean, you look at everything Steve Yzerman has done, and he's been very good at drafting talent. It just takes so long for that talent to actually be impactful. And even when it is, you're waiting 3 or 4 years for it to have an impact, and then you wait another 2 or 3 years before they are big-time impacts at this level.
Realistically, when do you expect the Red Wings to compete for the Stanley Cup? Within 2 years, 3 to 5 years, or 5+ years? 4% said the next 2 years. I would love to know what they're seeing.
It revamped the roster in free agency and trades.
64% said 3 to 5 years from now. I would be on the five
and
side
half to
of that. And then 30 or so percent said they are at least 5 years plus away from not winning the cup, contending for the cup, which would put us at more than a decade.
Yes.
Even by Yzerman standards, because I know people don't count
years
the Holland years.
More than a decade.
Well, people don't count the Holland years. They like conveniently think like you can't hold those against
just
only
counting
the
Stevie
Wise years, which I think were we 6 or 7. So throw in another 3 to 5 to a decade just to be in contention, let alone win the cup.
Yeah. It's hard to be patient.
It's incredibly hard to be patient. Anyway, we'll talk to Scott Harris coming up at 9:35. First, Heather with the news.
All right, so we know Aaron Rodgers is now married, right? He just revealed to Pittsburgh media members that that ring on his left finger is, in fact, a wedding ring. And he said that his wedding happened months ago to some mystery woman. He didn't go into details about who he's married to. But he might not be the only high-profile NFL player who secretly got married.
Oh.
Yeah. So Chicago Bears player Cole Kmet, is that how you say his name?
Yeah,
he got married on Saturday, and his event planner shared some details about his beautiful celebration, and one of those details included an envelope addressed to Taylor and Travis Kelce. Yeah, and the letter reveal sent fans into a frenzy on social media, some people believing that perhaps those two have secretly tied the knot.
Do you think they would do it in secret?
Heck yes, I do.
Yeah.
Do you 100%. Think they would do it publicly? Heck no.
Well, I think it would be public that she was engaged. I can't imagine she would keep that secret. Well, she's all about talking about her relationships.
She sings about them. Yeah. She shares news. I think she could totally do it in secret.
Yeah, I think so as well. I don't know that this has happened. I don't either. I was reading a little bit more in this article, and some of the comments that people had shared on this post was, this is sometimes acceptable when
at
you're
going
at weddings,
sure,
to label an envelope like this, even though they're not married.
I do agree with that, but I do think it's different with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Like, it's not that difficult to put Swift, but yes, I do agree. At weddings, sometimes things are worded like that, but I do think with somebody of that profile, you would say Taylor Swift, not just call her Taylor. If
fair point,
and would she change her name?
No.
Like, if they do get married, or when they get married.
There's also a distinction. She could change it
legally,
but not professionally.
Right.
Yes.
But I would think, and plenty of women just say, I don't want the headache. I'm known as this. I'm keeping my last name.
Right.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce might as well change his last name.
Oh. Travis Swift.
Because she's more popular. And
Yeah.
Could sell more jerseys.
Maybe. Deion Sanders is dealing with some sort of health situation, and he stepped away from Colorado, is currently staying at his home in Texas, and he's taken Colorado's athletic trainer with him to Texas, but the school has not indicated whether he's going to return to campus in time for any upcoming football events. Nobody really knows what's happening outside of his family, right? His son did say that his dad is feeling well, but is doing some resting. Did also say that he's going to share what he went through soon. Like those details would be coming out shortly.
Of course, wish him the best.
Yes.
You know, that's, he doesn't want to be away from all this stuff.
Right.
So take the time to get well.
Yep. A Northern Michigan city has been named one of the 15 best lake towns in all of America. Travel and Leisure is out with its 2025 list, and it's named Charlevoix among gems, also like South Lake Tahoe, Big Bear Lake, Lake Geneva. They say, Travel and Leisure says, Charlevoix is on the shores of Lake Michigan and offers both waterfront attractions and inland charms. It goes on to list a bunch of different things you should go check out if you visit Charlevoix. So it's pretty cool. You guys have been there, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just checking with you, Jim.
I don't know. The side eye she gave me.
Do you know how, if you saw the word Charlevoix written, would you say it properly?
Yes. Oh. I'm more insulted by that.
Oh, no. I think that's a legitimate question.
Right?
Like, there's just certain things in Michigan that look one way that we pronounce another way.
And there's certain things in Michigan that everyone has seen.
Yeah. He just hasn't been to Mackinac Island yet.
It's Heather with the news. Scott Harris is next, 97.1.